Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So I'm going to do a really fast overview from this morning. Is that okay? And then we'll get into tonight, because tonight is the continuation from this morning's word. It was such a privilege for me to be with you this morning, and I really enjoyed myself. I had a good time. Amen. But we were talking about forgiveness and the things of forgiveness and what forgiveness is, what forgiveness isn't. And we kind of laid the foundation for tonight. Amen. We spoke about, you know, forgiveness not being conditional. You know, I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. It's scandalous, if anything else. Amen. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't ask us if we wanted it. He just offered it to us. So it's not conditional. Forgiveness isn't resuming the relationship without change. We spoke about that. We also spoke about forgiveness isn't just forgetting what happened. And the difference between forgiving somebody and the difference between that and resuming a relationship and the things that take place there. And then we kind of went into the parable of the unforgiving servant, and that was in Matthew 18. For those of you who weren't here this morning, and we just really laid a foundation for forgiveness and what that looks like. And I really do feel like in this day and age, one of the things that we all tend to struggle with as New Testament believers is honestly believing that we're forgiven. Just like it was with the parable of the unforgiving servant, a huge, significant debt was released from him. His master said, I forgive you of your debt. There's no more. It's canceled. And he went back and he retaliated against another servant of his or a fellow servant of his. And it shows the heart condition of, I was forgiven this huge, significant debt, but I don't honestly believe it. So I stay in this place of unforgiveness. Amen. Is everybody okay? Can you hear me okay out there? It's a little soft on the stage, so I don't know. I'm just, you can hear me okay? Okay, amen. Thank you. Amen. So, I'm going to jump right into where I want to start tonight, picking up from that, is with resentment. And by choosing to forgive, I must release any resentment in my life. I shouldn't allow resentment to control me. Now, there are two things, one of the two greatest barriers that we deal with as Christians that steal our peace, our true peace, and our true joy is guilt and resentment. Now, there is a difference, although they're similar, but there is a difference. Guilt deals with what I did to you. I hurt you. Now I feel guilty. Resentment is you hurt me. Everybody with me? So guilt is I hurt you, and now I feel guilty. But resentment is you hurt me, and now I resent you for it. Now, resentment brings up a whole mixture of things. Resentment can make you do many things. It can make you act out in wrath and anger. It can make you hate people. How many of you know we're not supposed to hate people? We love the people. Amen. It can cause you to even be the mouthpiece of Satan himself, speaking accusation and falseness to the brethren. It can make you fall into rebellion and independent spirit. Resentment can do so many things. It's such a wide open door. Amen? Amen. Resentment can almost cause you to have like tunnel vision, to where you only see, like it's just, it's my way or the highway. And it's so difficult to get rid of resentment, because resentment is almost like justification for us to be mean and nasty. My actions are justified because they did this to me. Right? Resentment is unhelpful. In Job 18, 3 through 7, we're going to start there. Job 18, 3 through 7. It says, why are we counted as beasts and regarded as stupid in your sight? You who tear yourself in anger, shall the earth be forsaken for you, or shall the rock be removed from its place? The light of the wicked indeed goes out, and the flame of his fire does not shine. The light is dark in his tent, and his lamp beside him is put out. The steps of his strength are shortened, and his own counsel casts him down. Why do we tear ourselves in anger? Resentment will make you miserable. It'll make you self-destructive. And in many instances, it'll only affect you. Can I give an example? Many of you know, if you've sat through any e-courses that I've taught, or most of the youth and young adults will know, I speak about road rage often because I'm busy preaching to myself. I've got a little bit of a heavy right foot. I'm confessing my sins before you tonight publicly, as that's a public sin. And I'm walking this road, amen? Pray for me. But how many of you know, if I was to, now this is theoretical, this hasn't taken place. How many of you know, if I was to pull out of church after a great, wonderful encounter service here at Oceans Unite Christian Center, I hop onto Highway 60 in my old pick-em-up truck, and I turn down Highway 60, and I'm headed toward 58th. And I'm just about up to speed. I'm almost to 45 or whatever the speed limit is, and I'm having a great time with God, and I'm accelerating my way down the road all the way in the far right-hand lane, and all of a sudden, this precious person who was at the encounter service as well, that had a great time with God, wanted to go to Chick-fil-A, realized they were closed, and said, no, I'm going to go down and see my man Dino, and pulls out in front of me. Now, I got to go and lock him up, hit the e-brake, slam the Jake brake. Because otherwise, my truck is about to send them into the Walmart parking lot. Come on. Hey. Right? This is just... Now, there's two different scenarios taking place. In the vehicle in front of me, the precious individual pulled out in front of me. They had no idea what was going on. It was an accident. I don't know how they missed my truck, but they managed to. And they look left, and they look right, and they look left, and they look right, and they pull out in front of you. How many of you know? And they were just having such a great time worshiping God in their vehicle. They weren't real quick to get on the accelerator either. You know what I'm talking about? Those people that just whip out in front of you and want to do about 5 miles an hour for 5 miles. This is witnessing to somebody. And they're taking their sweet old time getting on the accelerator. They're just praising Jesus in their car. Now, little did they know, in the vehicle behind them, I'm about to lose my salvation over this. How in the heck? Did they know they could have just died right there? I'm so thankful I'm so responsible. I'm so thankful I got good tires. I'm so thankful I got good brakes. I would have sent them into the Walmart. Right? I'm about to explode. There's a bomb going off in my truck. They don't even know what's going on. And then my dad calls on the way down 58th, and you know, it took everything inside of me, every fruit of the spirit that I could muster to keep myself from losing my salvation. My dad calls and, "Dad, you know what just happened? I just about launched someone into the Walmart parking lot. They weren't paying any bit of attention." Right? The whole ride home. And then I get to the house, and my wife was there before me, and she's cooking me a nice dinner. And now all of a sudden, I've ruined this whole dinner because this whatever person whipped out in front of me and almost died, and I had to slam on the brake. You understand what I'm saying? They went on down to Station 49, had themselves a pizza, and had a wonderful, glorious time in the presence of God, and I've ruined my whole night because of one simple thing. So often, resentment will get a hold of us, and it'll control us. And we're justified by it because we think it's right. I'm justified to whine and complain and carry on and just go absolutely berserk and forget about every fruit of the spirit that I learned in Sunday school, kick them out the window for about 45 minutes because now I'm angry. Right? The word says, be angry, but do not sin. But resentment can so oftentimes cause us to sin because we feel like we're justified in our actions. Resentment can consume you. So-and-so sued me. Now I'm going to make it my life's mission to make the rest of their days on this earth miserable. Which kingdom do you serve again? We got to let it go. We got to let it go. I'll sing Frozen up here to you tonight. Let it go. We got to let it go. I got a niece. She loves it. I got the whole soundtrack. We got to let it go. You're only wearing yourself out. The resentment is wearing you down. And the whole time the devil is sitting in his corner going like this, going, I got him. And the moment he's at his lowest, that's when I'm going to come in and slam him with that temptation he's been struggling with. Resentment is unreasonable. Job 5 says, call out now. Is there anyone who will answer you? And to which of the holy ones will you turn? For wrath kills a foolish man, and envy slays a simple one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his dwelling place. We act foolish when we act on resentment. It's not logical to hold on to the hurt. It's not rational to hold on to the hurt. It will only breed resentment. Hurt people hurt people. I'm going to say it one more time. Hurt people, comma, hurt people. Resentment will only breed resentment. Say it with me now. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. We got to let it go because resentment is controlling us. Let it go. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Resentment. Can we go to Genesis 45? Genesis 45. This just reminds me of a great story, an Old Testament example of how resentment could have destroyed, but somebody chose not to allow resentment to control their life. And let's watch what happens. Genesis chapter 45. Amen. It says, then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. Verse 2. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Next verse. And then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. Next verse. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near to him. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Joseph was hated by his brothers. And they tried to snuff him out and send him to Egypt. They sold him into slavery. And the young man took the cards that were dealt to him. And he looked beyond his circumstance. He looked beyond his situation. And he looked to the future of a better and a brighter day ahead of him. And he made himself somebody. Now all of a sudden, he's like the prime minister of Egypt. High and mighty, he's got power. He looked beyond his situation, beyond his circumstance, beyond what's taking place. Forget the fact that his family tried to snuff him out. They sold him into slavery, all these things. And it says, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, I believe at this point in time, there was a great famine in the land. And the people were coming to Pharaoh to try to get goods. They needed food. They needed water. They needed resources. So they were coming. And isn't it so funny? The very one that they tried to kick out, the very one that they tried to snuff out is now in a position of leadership. And they walk in and he says, remember me? I'm little brother that you sold into slavery. How many of you know in this day and age, oh, we'd have been so happy. You tried to get rid of me. Here's my chance, brother. I'm going to snuff you out. I'm going to hang you. I'm going to put you to the torturers. I got power beyond power. Right? That's what Netflix will tell us to do. Watch two or three seasons of any show on Netflix, and that'll tell you exactly. This, you get the chance to take someone out. Hey, I'm going to do it. I love the response, though, of Joseph. Because instead of choosing to let resentment control him, he decided to forgive. Can we jump? I believe it's somewhere around verse 15. Can we jump to verse 15? Moreover, he kissed all of his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with them. Verse 16. Now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brothers have come. So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. Verse 17. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your animals and depart. Go to the land of Canaan. Verse 18. Bring your father and your households and come to me. I will give you the best of the land, and you will eat the fat of the land. Verse 19. Now you are commanded, do this. Take carts out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, and your wives bring your father and come. Verse 20. Also, do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Somebody who chose not to let resentment control him. As far as thine eye can see, that with which I will deliver into your hands. A great blessing came upon this precious man of God because he chose to not allow resentment to hold him back and to control him. The heavens were opened for him and his family. In a time when everyone else was struggling, in a time when there's famine on the land, there's a drought, there's no food, there's no money, there's no jobs, and Pharaoh said, hey, I'll bless you. Say with me, let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
I pray tonight in the name of Jesus that as we let our resentment go, we choose to no longer allow resentment to hold us. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that the heavens would open up in this place. Father, that blessings beyond blessings would pour down on your precious people tonight that choose to, in fact, let it go. Father, that healing that needs to take place, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, we take it by faith tonight. That miracle that needs to take place, we take it by faith tonight. Father, that business move that needs to take place, we take it by faith tonight. For those of us who choose to let resentment go, Father, your will be done in this place. In Jesus' mighty and precious name. Amen. Amen. I must forgive because I will need forgiveness in the future. Matthew 16, verses 14 through 15 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive their trespasses. Now, forgiveness is a two-way street. You cannot give what you are unwilling to receive. You cannot give what you are unwilling to receive. We can't. If you are unwilling to receive forgiveness, you can't give it out. I heard a quote one time from a great man of God, John Wesley, and someone told Mr. John Wesley, I could never forget that person ever again because of what they did to me. It was so bad, I'll never forgive them. To which John Wesley replied, well, brother, I hope you never sin then. Don't burn that bridge of forgiveness that you may in the future have to walk across yourself. Amen. Don't burn the bridge. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, don't burn the bridge. Now, the reality of life is that you are going to hurt someone. I hate to be the bearer of bad news tonight, but it's a fact of life. We are going to hurt somebody. And there is going to be a day when we need that forgiveness. Listen, we are an imperfect people living in an imperfect world. It's totally foolish for us to honestly believe that if you take two imperfect people and place them in an imperfect world, that you're going to have a perfect relationship. As much as I love my wife and we have, I believe, the greatest relationship ever, I'm gonna hurt her at some point in our relationship because I'm a stupid man. Although I feel I've done a great job because she's got really big guns and she's very accurate. The fact of the matter is we are imperfect people living in an imperfect world. And as Holy Ghost filled as we are, every once in a while, the flesh comes over and she's going to say something that's going to upset me. And I'm going to say something that is most definitely going to upset her. And there needs to be a road of forgiveness there. Relationships aren't destroyed. Relationships aren't destroyed because of hurt. Relationships are destroyed because of an unwillingness to forgive. My relationship with my wife will not be destroyed because I hurt her. My relationship will be destroyed if she chooses to no longer forgive me and I no longer forgive her. A relationship can't be destroyed because of hurt. We're never going to run away from it. Unless you want to become a hermit on the side of a mountain away from everybody and completely isolate yourself for the rest of your life. And I'm sorry to tell you, you're probably going to end up hurting yourself. It's foolish. We can't. I'm not going to get hurt anymore. I'm not going to get hurt anymore. I'm going to make a decision. I'm not going to get hurt anymore. No, learn to forgive. Learn to forgive. Let it go. Come on, say it with me. Let it go. Let it go. Say it like we believe it. Let it go. Amen. Now, how do we forgive? Point number one, getting rid of my right to get even. Getting rid of my right to get even. Romans 12, 19 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Getting rid of my right to get even. Grab your neighbor's hand, hold it up real high, and say with me, getting rid of my right to get even. We got to get rid of our right to get even. Listen, I remember, as a very young man in my household, I had two sisters, both of which were older, much larger than me, and much meaner than me. My brother had already left home. He was in college. He was my stepbrother, so I didn't grow up with him. He's quite a bit older than me. And I remember we had running tabs, right, of who had done what to who, you know? A fight breaks out, somebody gets a big bruise on their shoulder. Don't tell mom. Please don't tell mom. She's going to be so mad when she gets home. Don't worry. I'm going to take that one to the bank. Put it on a list. I caught big sister outside smoking a cigarette. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, don't tell mom. Don't tell mom. Don't worry. I'm going to take that one to the bank. Put that on the list. Come on. Anybody got brothers and sisters? You know what it was like growing up. By the end of the summer, I had like a week. I could have got away with murder. They ain't gonna say a single thing to mom or dad because, hey, I blackmail you to the death. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Getting rid of my right to get even. If you would have told me as a 12-year-old boy that I got to forgive my sisters for everything that they did and just release them, you better come with me with a lot of $100 bills because that is valuable information. I am not letting them get off the hook for nothing. Why? Because the day is going to come when I'm going to need to be able to say, hey, remember this? Isn't that just like us? We want the opportunity to get even. We want the opportunity to justify our own sin. We want the opportunity, right? When we mess up, we want to say, you know what, it's okay because you're a way bigger sinner than me. Amen? Give up our right to get even because they hurt you. That's the first step of forgiveness. Leave it to God. He will fix it. He will take care of it. He will deal with it. But it's hard for us because the minute we give it to God, we lose our chance to play God. Amen? Because when we have this blacklist of all the things that Sissy did when mom and dad weren't home, I've got power. I rule the roost. But the minute I forgive them and release them and that list is no longer there, I become vulnerable. And that's hard because vulnerability makes us feel weak as a people. But it's in that moment of weakness that God can be made strong. It's in that moment when you finally submit and say, hey, I forgive you. Don't worry about it. That God can come out in the situation. But as humans, we very much like to be in control. We like to play God in the situation. Point number two is responding to evil with good. Luke 6:27 says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. One mark of a mature individual, one mark of a mature person is an individual that when they get hurt can look at the offender and see past what they did to me and see the reason why they did it in the first place. It's the mark of a mature person. They come and they attack, they come and they accuse, they come and slander, they come and do this, 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 and this. And a mature person, somebody who is mature in the spirit, can see, okay, listen, they're going after me, but that's just their way of coping with it because this happened when they were young. This happened when they were young. They're harboring unforgiveness. And when we respond to that evil with good, the devil just can't handle it. I mean, you guys ever like see somebody at a Walmart register and they just begin to, they're all upset and they're just all mad and this card isn't working and this card isn't working and now they're embarrassed and they're in a bad place and then they just start getting angry and now they start arguing with the cashier and then the people behind them and it's just a big ugly mess and you just run up with your debit card and just, it's okay, I love you. And they just begin to manifest. Just receive the blessing, brother, it's okay. It's all right. We all go through stuff. Somebody who's got really bad road rage. Right? They say when you point the finger, look at the other four pointing back at you. How many of you know when you got somebody who's really bad with road rage, you know, and everything inside of you, they drive past you and they just wave and smile? Oh, you want to see somebody get upset? Woo! Let me be in one of my angry fits and you just, it's all right, brother, praise Jesus. I don't want to relinquish my right to get even. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Amen? Why? The devil can't handle it. Because it's against everything he knows. Because listen, hurt people, comma, hurt people, and in order for hurt people to continue to grow, they thrive off of more hurt and pain and rejection. So that spirit that's inside of them is just feeding off the anger that takes place, and it's growing and growing and growing. So when you turn and you say, okay, anger, okay, malice, okay, bitterness, okay, unforgiveness, I'm gonna respond with love, I'm gonna respond with joy, I'm gonna respond with peace, that thing inside of it says, I don't know what to do, I gotta go. Getting out of here.
Let it go. Amen.
By forgiving them, you look past the hurt that they did to me. And as a mature Christian, you can immediately begin to pray and intercede on their behalf for the reason they act out the way that they did. Nobody was born into this world malicious and angry and upset and bitter. Nobody was. We were taught that. And I'm not coming against parenthood in any way, shape, or form. But growing up, the world system and the devil himself will do it. Because I know some really, really good parents that have had kids that have gone through hell in school. Amen? We don't come out of the womb just angry little hellions. We don't. It's something we're taught. But when responded to with the opposite spirit, it just can't handle it. It can't. It's got to go. It's got to go. Let it go. Okay. Point number three. Is everybody okay?
Yes.
Amen. Point number three. Repeating these steps as long as necessary. This morning we saw in the parable of the unforgiving servant with Matthew 18 that in verse 22 it said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but 70 times seven. Forgiveness must be a continual thing. It needs to be limitless. It needs to be something that we walk out as a lifestyle of forgiveness. It's not just a one-time shot. Listen, if my pastor had not exercised this with me, I would not be standing here today. I need lots of forgiveness. Thank you, Pastor. Amen? Because we make mistakes. But if you truly love somebody, and I guess that's where this all comes back to, because I truly love my wife, and no matter how many times she comes against me, I'm going to continue to forgive you over and over and over until we make this right. You truly love somebody, you don't have any issues forgiving. And we're supposed to love the people, Christians especially. The world especially. Matter of fact, just everybody especially. Let's not assign a specific thing to it. We need to continue to forgive until the pain is no longer there. Because if you don't, you'll rehearse the situation in your mind over and over and over again. And the devil loves it when you do that, because he can take your thoughts and twist them and just turn everything into a big blended mess. And you were forgiven and you were totally set free walking out of the encounter service on Sunday night. But by Thursday afternoon, you're right back at it. Walk it out. Walk it out. Got to continue to let it go continually, over and over and over. You know, I used to never be able to talk about what happened with my mother. And most of you know this. My mother died of brain cancer when I was 9 years old. And I couldn't talk about it because I would get emotional and start crying. And there was thoughts and there was memories and there was this traumatic thing that I had to walk through. I can talk about it all day long, every single day, and not evoke a single emotion, because I'm totally set free from all the pain, the trauma, and the unforgiveness that I carried in my own heart. But you gotta walk it out. And for some of you, it's a really simple thing, because it was something as simple as mom took away your cell phone for the weekend. But for some of us, it's a totally different road. But that's where we as Christians need to come alongside one another and pick each other up and be willing to walk that road with somebody instead of leaving them high and dry. You don't want hate showing back up in your life. You gotta extinguish the hate. Forgiveness is like a fire extinguisher to hate. It just... Forgive. Forgive. Let it go. Let it go. And point number four. And this is what I love. This brings it all together. Rescuing others with the good news of God's forgiveness. Can we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. We could go all, right there. We just stop, put a period on it, go back to Galatians 5 and teach on the difference between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh, because I believe that's probably 99.995% of our issues every single day. As we want to walk in the flesh and expect a spiritual result. Okay, amen. Go back to it. Otherwise, I'm about to go on a really big tangent that I shouldn't. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There was a burial that took place. There was a funeral that took place the day you nailed it to the cross. The problem with us is we're too happy to take a shovel and run down to the cemetery and dig that old man up again. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That means we have a new lifestyle. We no longer walk in that sin. We no longer walk in that resentment. We no longer walk in that hatred. We no longer walk in that poverty spirit. We no longer walk in this depression state that we're in. We no longer walk in this total anger toward everybody we consume ourselves around. We have, old things have passed away and all things have become new. Leave that old man at the cemetery where he belongs. There's a reason why there was a funeral, and there's a reason why there was a resurrection. Old man died, new man comes up, and now we walk this thing with Christ. But our flesh, going back to Galatians 5, can we just real quick just go to Galatians 5 with verse 1? Miss Karis, everybody give Miss Karis a great big God bless you. She's doing a great, she doesn't have any scriptures, so she's just kind of going. It says, stand fast, therefore, in liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Verse 2. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Verse 3. And I testify again to every man and who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep whole the whole law. 4. Maybe I have the wrong scripture. Can I have my Bible? Sorry, everybody, stay with me. Amen. It is Galatians 5, right, John? 16, verse 16? 18. Can we go to verse 18? I knew it was somewhere around there. Please, everybody, stay with me. Give me a little grace. I'm very young. Here it is. Okay. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Next verse. Now the works of the flesh. This was it. Thank you, John. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Next verse. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Next verse. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and of the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as also I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We need to learn to become a spiritual people and begin to walk in the Spirit instead of the lusts of the flesh. And all this will make it just everything so much easier. That's just a little key. Walking in the Spirit. We talked about it heavy on Friday night. Walking in the Spirit, becoming a spiritual man. Letting the lust of the flesh begin to die off so that we can step in to what God has called us to be. Amen? Okay, little rabbit run. Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 19. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to him through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. We are called to a ministry of reconciliation. There are people that are around us that are bound up with unforgiveness and hurt and bitterness and malice. And we are called to a ministry of reconciliation. To walk this road out with each other. We want to see the city transformed. We want to see the city set free, the city changed. It's time we go for it, everybody. Unforgiveness is a bondage that is holding believers back from purpose and destiny in their calling. Before we close tonight, I'm done. I've preached everything I got. Can we do one thing? All of us, can we all stand? Can we lower the lights just a little bit? Can we all stand? If you came this morning or even tonight and you say, Pastor Mike, this has been speaking to me. There are people in my life that I have not chosen to forgive, and I've realized through the series of events today that unforgiveness is holding me back. Well, I'm here to tell you with much joy and gladness that tonight is your night. And I'm praying, we are praying, everyone here, we're going to be praying that there's going to be a release of everything that has been holding you back because of that bitterness, that unforgiveness, all of those things that is busy taking place in your heart. Tonight, when we release it, we're going to be asking God specifically for restoration, for healing, for debt cancellation, for new jobs. We don't limit God. Don't limit God. So I'm going to ask everybody, just take just a moment. Just a moment. Be real with yourself. And look deep into your heart. And as we learned about it this morning, you know, just professing it with your mouth is one thing, but we need to actually believe it in our hearts by faith, knowing we have to forgive. I want to take 60 seconds. And every one of us just think and just be real with ourselves. Is there anyone you need to forget? I'm just a moment of silence. Jessica, if you could just continue to play. Just take 60 seconds and just, is there someone you need to forget? Is there someone you need to release tonight? Tuning in online, you are more than capable and able to be a part of this blessing as well. If there's somebody in your life that you need to forgive, if unforgiveness has had you bound up from receiving your total blessing, your total deliverance, your total healing, I want to ask you tonight to be totally honest with yourself. And wherever you're at, in whatever room that you're at, I'm going to ask you to profess this out loud with every single one of us as well. Can we all close our eyes and lift our hands for just a moment? Just a few more minutes, and then we'll be closed up for tonight. Can we pray this prayer with me? Say, Father God, tonight I choose to let it go. I choose to forgive every person who has wronged me, who has sinned against me. I choose to release guilt. I choose to release resentment. I choose to no longer
be bound by unforgiveness. Tonight, Father, I repent of every sin. Fill me tonight, Holy Spirit, in the name above every name. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I release as they have forgiven, as they have released, as they have broken with resentment, as they have broken with guilt. Father, we stand in agreement tonight and we ask, Lord, that you would open up the heavens and that you would release financial breakthroughs, that you would release a physical healing in the body. Father, we speak to that cancer tonight and all cancer that has been bound up because of unforgiveness. We speak to it right now in the name above every name, and we break your power. Every spirit that is holding your people back from blessings, from destiny, from calling, from their anointing, from their ministry, from their business, from their marriage, from their kids, from everything the devil would hold them back from. Father, tonight we declare and decree freedom in this atmosphere. Freedom in this atmosphere. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, can we give him some praise? Father, I thank you. We take a hold of it by faith. We declare it, we decree it, we believe it, and we receive it by faith. Father, I pray that your hand of protection would be upon every single person as they make their way home and as they go throughout their week. Father, strengthen them. Give them boldness to walk this road of forgiveness. And Father, as they have chosen to forgive, just release the blessings upon every single one of them. Father, I give you the praise. I give you the honor. Lord, it is only because of you. It is only because of you that your grace is, it's just amazing. Father, we love you. We appreciate you. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, and all God's people say, amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.